Name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we just read in Genesis 11, we were told that all mankind spoke one language. Just think of the peace and the harmony that existed between men. The only group of people that the world had to fight with were the faithful descendants of Shem, who were neither powerful nor numerous. And so mankind was able to come together and work for world peace and order. Well, how did they do that? Well, by building a city and a tower in order to make a name for themselves. I mean, isn't that how it works in the church? We can't be united by word and sacrament or by our confessions, so we think that what's going to rally the troops and bring everybody together? A building program. That'll work. Mankind had the blessing of a universal language. And like all blessings from God, man sinfully misused it. As a result, God caused several languages to spring forth so that there was confusion and man was divided against man. And instantly people began to flock to those whom they could understand. And they went off and established their own communities and cultures and began to look suspiciously upon those who were different. Now, eventually it was the Greeks who came up with the idea of calling people who were not Greek barbarians. And initially it wasn't a derogatory term. The word barbaroi was used to describe non-Greek speakers, because when someone would speak in a different language, the Greek ear would just hear bar, bar, right? Like we hear blah, blah. But eventually, this word and concept of a barbarian came to mean someone who was uncivilized, at least according to your culture. You look down upon those uncivilized, weird barbarians. And you see this all throughout history, because the Greeks eventually ended up calling pejoratively the Persians barbarians. The Greeks called the Romans barbarians. The Romans called the Gauls barbarians. The Crusaders called the Mohammedans barbarians. The Mohammedans called the Crusaders barbarians. And everybody called the Vikings barbarians. I mean, you see how this goes. Different languages and customs lead people to call each other barbarians and think of them as uncivilized, as being maybe perhaps even subhuman. I'd make the argument that the same thing has now occurred even in our American context. Even though we all pretty much speak the same language, it seems we're miles apart in how we define words. That is, if we even credit words with having a definition. We speak past each other. Our ideas of culture and what is civilized are vastly different. I mean, just look at the way we talk to each other. With such vitriol, such venom and hatred. I mean, it doesn't matter what the issue is. Lines are drawn, separations are made, and opponents are viewed as something less than human. You don't believe me? Go to your Facebook page. Watch a presidential debate or even attend a local town hall meeting, because it seemed that debates about issues began and end not with the issue itself, but with name-calling and personal attacks. The separation between people is so deep, they might as well be from different planets. I mean, haven't you just noticed how angry people are nowadays? Everybody is so on edge, and they're ready to attack the barbarians who dare to oppose their ideals or views. You've fallen into this trap as well. You've been so full of rage at those imbeciles out there that you don't want to have anything to do with them. You actually wish those barbarians harm. And don't tell me you didn't wish harm to come to some third-rate alleged comedian who held up the head of our president this last week, or the snowflakes on college campuses who have cry-ins. At the very least, you desire that they fall prey to eternal embarrassment or shame when they lose elections and your side wins, because you have the idea that if your party or candidate can win, they're going to turn this country around by legislating those barbarians and their policies out of existence. And then when that happens, once again, we'll all be happy and unified, and we can all drink a Coke and teach the world to sing. Stop it. Repent. Trying to unify mankind by laws or policies or ideologies or cultures will never work. The problem is not in the law or the policy or the culture, but with people themselves. How can sinful man accomplish perfection and unification? The fact is, they can't. But if somehow, some way, some kind of unification could happen, you have an example before you this morning of what would happen. The hubris of the Tower of Babel. I don't know. Sounds like you barbarians are lost then. That you're doomed to destruction. Except for the fact that one of you is perfect. And that perfect one came not to condemn you with more laws or look down upon you as uncivilized barbarians, but rather became as you are in every way. He left the glorious, civilized throne of heaven to become one with you, you who act subhuman. All your hatred, all your arrogance, all your efforts to make names for yourselves, all your sins placed upon this perfect substitute who faced the just wrath of the Father so that you wouldn't have to. While we were yet barbarians, Christ died for us. And in his death, he now restores our humanity. And by his Holy Spirit, he unifies us again. Unified mankind with the Father, with him, and unifies us one with another. That unification, that reversal of Babel, is celebrated today, Pentecost. The day when by the word of Christ and him crucified, through the preaching of the apostles, 3,000 people were brought into the church. They heard the apostolic word preached in their own languages. Those who witnessed this and refused to hear in faith looked upon the apostles as a bunch of barbarians, right? Speaking incoherently and accusing them of being drunk even though it was early in the morning. And the world has looked upon the church as such ever since. But the fact is, it is the church that has cornered the market on diversity and unification. The world tries to do it by laws and political parties. And again, if you're on the wrong side, then you are a barbarian who should be marginalized or eliminated by any means possible. But the church has already been unified in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And the goal of the church is not to be some new, exclusive, removed society, but to shine like a city on a hill, proclaiming to all the world that their sins are forgiven and death has been defeated. And since that's the case, we can never look down upon anyone. Each and every person on the planet is uniquely and wonderfully made and loved and forgiven by our Lord. It's utter foolishness to join with the Nimrods of this world and seek to make a name for yourself. Trust rather the name that you are baptized into, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you have a seat at the family feast that has no end. Because we're not just united together. We are family. Family with all those who confess Christ and him crucified. Blood indeed is thicker than water. We are related by the blood of Christ that forgives you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.